Once again, a very good morning to all of you. In 4 Sundays' time, from today, we will be celebrating our 44th anniversary as a church. And I think, to me, as I look at SSMC, I am grateful and I am thankful to God, because I know that it is God that has called and brought this church together. Even as we build up to our gift day, this is actually the second Sunday where we are going to talk a little bit about. Last week, Sishu actually kickstart the whole area about missions, but in the context of local missions. This morning, I'm going to talk a little bit about the context of missions, as in missions to the nations. Let me just begin by saying this now. It is not our intention to put anyone on a guilt trip. Neither is it our intention to manipulate or stir emotions. I trust that this morning, even as we share, open your hearts and allow God to speak to you. For what SSMC stands for, why God has called us to be who we are. Now, I've entitled the sharing this morning as Chosen, Consecrated, Commission. And we are now reading the book of Jeremiah. But I'm doing something different. And this is also not my style, in a sense that I would prefer to do expository, but this morning I'm not doing so much of an expository kind of approach. But it's more of really sharing the fact that God has chosen, God has consecrated, God has commissioned us, whether as individual or as a church. And I want to just begin by saying that God calls everyone. God calls everyone individually, personally. 3-4 weeks ago, you know, many of us were touched, were very encouraged by the testimony of our brother, Tony. Remember? I always remember that dramatic reenactment of how he heard the voice of God. Tony! Remember that? And boom, boom, boom. Do not be afraid. Boom, boom, boom. That was his experience, an encounter of how God called him. And I want to just say that as we look into the Bible, even from the very beginning, God has been calling individual. God has been calling specific people at specific time for specific purpose. You remember the story of Abraham. It may not be as dramatic. I cannot imagine how. But I think Abraham's call is not like Tony. And Tony's call, can I just say, is not normal. It's more of an exception. And I trust also that this morning, that none of us is expecting God to call us like Tony. But nevertheless, God has called each one of us. Remember from the beginning, in the book of Genesis, God called Abraham. It was perhaps nothing spectacular. It was just that Abraham was a man who walked with God, who knew God. And God just told Abraham, "Abraham, I want you to leave your family. You know, leave your father's house. Leave your family and go to another land." And Abraham obeyed. You remember the story of Moses. God called him through the burning bush. That was quite, I think, spectacular. You remember the story of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on his throne, high above, and his train fills the temple. And I want to just say that from the beginning of Scripture, God is calling. God has been calling. And when we come to this text from Jeremiah, this is what Jeremiah 1:5 says. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Just like what the psalmist says in Psalms 139. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And when God called Jeremiah, God is saying, even before you were formed, when you do not have a physical presence, God says, I knew you. Some version says, I have chosen you. And God went on to say, before you were born, I set you apart. I consecrated you. Some version that Ellison said, I sanctified you. And I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And this is really, as you begin to read the book of Jeremiah, this is the call of Jeremiah. And God told him, you are chosen. I know you personally. I know you. And I have set you apart. In other words, you are holy to me. And I commission you. In other words, God is saying, I have work for you to do. I have a plan for you. And really, this is the call of Jeremiah. And if you look at the story of Jeremiah, for 50 years, or 50 over years, or at least five decades, he faithfully fulfilled the calling and the commission of God in his life. Jeremiah was not successful in the sense that, you know, those whom God sent him, nobody listened to him. He was humiliated. He was thrown into prison. He was kidnapped. Nobody. His success for those 50 years was the fact that he was faithful to the calling. And therefore, this is really how God called Jeremiah. And I want to also say to each one of you, in the same way, each one of you is not by, you know, none of us is a byproduct of accident. We exist, it is because of God's infinite mercy. You are here. Therefore, say to your neighbor, you are not an accident. You know? Say to your neighbor, you are chosen. God knew you. God has set you apart. And God has appointed you. I mean, think about it, my friends. That God has a calling in each of our lives. Whether you recognize or whether you are waiting for the encounter like Tony before we rise up, I'm telling you, God has called you. God has set you apart. And God has commissioned you. This is the verse that, you know, we have been talking about for the last couple of years. It's the same thing. We talk about being disciple of Jesus. Being with Jesus. And if you look carefully, there's also the three things that Jesus calls and Jesus has chosen. Number one, Jesus consecrated, set a group of people apart, and he also commissioned them, sent them out, grant them the authority to bring the message of the gospel of the kingdom. It's the same. This may not be dramatic, but I trust that as followers of Jesus, as a believer, as a Christian, deep in each of our hearts, we have this sensing that there is that sense of worth, there is that sense of purpose and destiny in each of our lives. 1 Peter 2:9 is the same. You read this verse, you are chosen, you have been set apart, and you, God has also commissioned you. So what I want to say is, all of us, God has called us. And it is not by accident or mistake. Now, having said this, today I'm going to talk a little bit about SSMC, who we are, There may be a little bit of overlap with last week, but I'm trying to avoid any overlap because next Sunday, Pastor Paul is going to tell us the story of our own journey as a church. I want to also say that God calls SSMC corporately. We have been established not by accident. It is by God's divine purpose. My question to you this morning, why have you chosen to make SSMC your home church? Have you ever thought of that? Why are you here? Well, maybe you say it's convenient. 10 o'clock, well, I don't need to wake up early, you know, 10 to 12, just nice, you know. Some say maybe it's very close to your home. Some say, what, good fellowship. Some say, oh, SSMC has a very good children church, and therefore, you know, the kids come, therefore I bring my kids here. What about the rest of you? Why have you chosen SSMC to be your home church? I have been with SSMC for 34 years. Wow! Long, huh? Okay, can be part of the furniture. Very long, huh? The question I ask is, why have I made SSMC my church? Can I just share this with you? I believe that God has established SSMC in the same way that God has chosen us, has called us together, consecrated us, and has also given and commissioned us. I believe that God has a very specific calling for SSMC. Some people say we are a kampong church. It's fine. The question is whether will we become like SIB, 5,000, 10,000. Does it matter to you? Some people say we are not hip enough. Hip, you know, hip. We are kampong church. We are family. Today, where got any church talks about family? It's either you target the youth, you target this and that, you know. We are special because God has called us to be a church. And therefore, that calling is specific. We don't have to copy. We don't have to compete. Because we know SS has a very specific calling. Number one, it's specific. The calling of God is always specific. Number two, the calling of God is also redemptive. Redemptive in the biblical sense, when we talk about redemption or redeem, to redeem means going to the market. And the meaning behind the word redeem is really going to the market and to buy slave. You pay the ransom price to set them free. You pay the ransom price so that you take possession and set them free, and you take possession as their master. And I believe that SSMC's call by God is also redemptive. Redemptive in the sense that God has called us to, as it were, bring back. God has called us to release. And so God's call to SSMC is redemptive in nature. I don't have time to look into this, but you may want to take down that 2 years ago, I spoke about the Church of Antioch. One of the reasons why SS is the church that God has placed here, and I believe strongly, is when I look at the Antioch church 2 years ago during my sermon, I list out 8 characteristics. You take a look. And I see, in that sense, in these 8 characteristics, semblances of SSMC. And I'm thankful to God for that. I'm thankful to God because, in one sense, we are called to be like the Antioch church. We are not perfect. We are not there. But if you go back and listen to that sermon, look into these 8 characteristics. And I see the mirror image of SSMC. And this is the question that I asked in 2017. How does the modern day church compare to the Antioch church? Today, our idea of church, that is a good church, that is a successful church. Does it matter to God? The more important question is this. How does SSMC line up against the Antioch Church? Because the Antioch Church, at the heart of Antioch Church, is a heart for the nations. I don't know about you, maybe you are sitting here and say, oops, maybe I'm in the wrong church. But I always believe that this is, as I understand it after 34 years, this is how God has called us to be SSMC. In June 1995, I got a picture. That time, much younger. Oh yeah, much thinner. All right. And this is Pastor Pua. All right. Of course, this is my wife. That time, this was actually my second trip going to the nations. And I had the privilege of going with Uncle Pua, you know, in 1995. And that time, we were just married less than a year, and I think my wife was 3 months pregnant with our eldest boy. And we went to Indonesia. And this is this year, April. And it has been a joy, frankly, the privilege of given the opportunity, the enablement, to continue to be involved after so many years. So in between, there are many photos, but between, what I want to share is that SSMC is special. SSMC, God has called us to the nations. You and I have been given that mandate and that privilege. Not many churches. And I don't expect we all to copy what God is calling other churches to do. But for us, this is who we are. And I had the privilege of these 34 years to be taught, been challenged about missions, the whole area of prayer, the whole area of giving. And I also had the privilege of seeing that worked out in the lives of our leaders. And that has been a great impact and an encouragement. Now, what I'm going to do in the next 20 minutes, there will be five persons who will be sharing. All these people, in one sense, they were with us at one time, and somehow God has moved them on into different locations, different areas. But one thing that I'm very encouraged up to today, the fire for the nations burn in them. You know? And it is true being in SSMC. Many of them have caught this vision. And therefore, what I want to say is that even as we celebrate our anniversary gift day mission, it's not about an event. We are not trying to stir people up for the event. What we are trying to say is, this is the life. This is what God has called us. And it is a life. It is our life. We have become, it is part of our lives. So I want you all to sit back about 15 minutes. There will be five persons who will be sharing from different parts of the world. And they were once with us in SS. I don't know whether you know this guy, Eric Chia. I think many of you don't know because many of you were not here from 1986 to the year 1990. Eric and I were university mates. All right, he was the PKV president, the VCF president. I was the secretary, and I remember in those days from UM, every Sunday I will use kap jaya and ferry him to church. And one of the things I don't like about Eric is because being the pillion rider, he will fall asleep, you know. And that will always, you know, make the motorbike shaky. But 3 weeks ago, I met up with Eric, and he was just sharing, and I'm very encouraged that through the years, the fire for the nations, God has placed in his heart. I want you to listen to his message, even as he shares with us.
Hi there, my name is Eric Chia. I'm from Penang and I'm based in Penang. My wife is from North Vietnam and her name is Grace. We have one son whose name is Jonathan. I am a missionary lawyer and am most known for my work with Vietnamese workers in Malaysia. Vocation-wise, my life has gone through three phases. Phase one, after I graduated from UM in 1989, I was in legal practice in Penang for 7 years. Phase two, In March 1996, I left Block, and for the next 8 years, I served as full-time missions director in Penang Wesley, then as a missionary in Hanoi, where I met my future wife, and also as an interpreter for Vietnamese workers in an electronics factory in Bayan Lepas, Penang. Phase 3. From June 2004 until now, I have been back in law as mainly a labor lawyer advocating for exploited Vietnamese workers. I also took up criminal law to fight for Vietnamese workers unfairly prosecuted for criminal offenses. When I brought my first team to North Vietnam in September 1996, I discovered that amongst the 35 million people spread out in 30-odd ethno-linguistic groups, there were only about 2,000 evangelical believers amongst the majority people, with no known believers in all other groups. This really struck my heart, and I told the Lord I would do everything He asked to mobilize workers for His harvest. For the next 5 years, I tried hard to mobilize especially Malaysians for the unreached people groups, UPGs of North Vietnam. But to most people, this was a scary place. Finally, God did a miracle by bringing Vietnam to Malaysia. In February 2002, the Malaysian government opened the door for Vietnamese to come work in Malaysia. And God gave me a vision, a dream, to build a big net to catch many of these precious fish coming to Malaysia. I coined the name UFIN, which UFIN, which stands for United Friendship Initiative, for a network of mission agencies and an interdenominational network of churches to reach out to the Vietnamese workers. By the grace of God, we have caught many fish, far beyond any number we had envisioned. In fact, of the 220,000 who have already gone home to Vietnam, easily a quarter have professed faith here in Malaysia. Today, in the upper half of Vietnam, we know that more than 300 of our returnees are involved in planting churches. Amazingly, we have encountered more than 15 UPGs from North Vietnam here in Malaysia, and God gave us the chance to win some of these people to the Lord. Currently, there are not many Vietnamese workers left in Malaysia. They are going home fast. The action is now taking place in Vietnam, which is what we want. In the last few years, the Lord has put UPGs in Sabah and Northern Laos on my heart. I have been functioning as a mobilizer and bridge builder, and I know God will reveal more of what He has in store for me as I take steps onward. In the 30 years since I went back to Penang, I have never forgotten the role SS has played in my mission's development. I still remember that 3 weeks before I entered UM, I had a chance to attend SS. It was in SS3 then. That Sunday was a mission Sunday, and on that day alone, at least 30,000 ringgit was raised for missions. I was moved beyond words, and I knew this was the church I wanted to attend for my UM days. SS helped to put missions in my DNA. Missions is our response to the Great Commission. If I had not seen missions being practiced in so many ways by SS, I doubt that I would have followed God to the extent I have already described to you above. One compelling reason for my continuing passion in missions is the task remaining. In Southeast Asia alone, there are hundreds of UPGs out there. There are also many UUPGs, which stands for unengaged UPGs, that is, UPGs which are yet to have any missionaries deployed. As the day of our Lord's return draws nearer, what can you and I do to extend His kingdom amongst those deprived or cut off for some reason from the gospel? I am convinced that the next few years will see the greatest harvest ever on the face of this earth. We have only one life. Let us make our lives count for eternity. Ask not how many million ringgit you can earn, but rather of God's many blessings and gifts to us. What can we offer back to Him and His kingdom? Which UPG or UPGs is God placing on your heart? Let us leave legacies of faith amongst the unreached. As we persevere, God will do the impossible. Thank you.
Let us leave a legacy of faith amongst the UPG and the UUPGs. Eric is a mission mobilizer, all right, and he builds network. And I'm really privileged to have known him for so many years, and also to see, you know, that missions is really a part of his life. The next person I want to also share with you all, it's our brother, all the way from Canada, and he brings greeting. And I also asked him to share a little bit about his own journey to encourage and to challenge us. All right?
Hello, good morning. My name is Victor Koo. My family and I were members of SSMC from 1990 to 2005. Then we moved to Canada in 2005 so that I could attend seminary at Regent College located in Vancouver. After graduating in 2011, God opened the door for me to serve with the Canadian Baptists of Western Canada, also known as the CBWC, one of the five Baptist denominations in Canada that has a total number of 160 churches in the Western region and another 800 churches in the Eastern region of the country. The geographical area of the Western region is roughly about 14 times larger than Malaysia. The Canadian Baptist also has a mission arm called the Canadian Baptist Ministries, which engage in missionary work in 12 different countries around the world, with over 140 years of mission experience. My current work with the CBWC involves supporting ministries within the local churches, which includes local missions, leadership training, pastoral care, justice and social ministries, Syrian refugees sponsorship working in tandem with the federal government sponsorship program, camping ministries, youth and family ministries, as well as in the area of church planning work. I work with the executive minister, also known as the bishop, to assist in managing the churches that are members of the denomination and managing a staff of 20 personnel in the head office and regional offices as the Director of Administration and Finance. This year will be my 8th year of service with the CBWC. In my 15 years attending SSMC, I was nurtured to embrace missions in its entirety, not only looking at the needs of local missions, for example, participating in 3 different trips to the Murut Tagal Indigenous People Group of Sabah, but also looking beyond to countries like Indonesia's Sudanese people group, the enriched people groups like the Safo in northern Vietnam, and participating in the training of new church planters with the Cambodian Church Planning Institute in Phnom Penh. In total, I went on 13 different mission trips organized by SSMC in the span of the time that I was with the church. Obviously, God has planted a seed of compassion to me towards mission on every of the mission trips that I partake of with the other members of the church. Year after year, the passion continues to intensify, and in 2005, I realized that God is leading me and my family towards North America with a purpose that I was not sure what it was back then. By faith, I followed the Lord's leading and prompting as it was laid out before me, and against all odds, decided to further my theological studies at Regent College, knowing that He has a plan for me and my family. As we look back, we have no regrets except to thank God and SSMC for laying this seed of missions into our hearts. Now we are clear that He has called us to be a partaker of re-evangelizing the churches in local missions in North America, as He has a great plan to revive the churches in this continent to a former glorious days of being able to send out missionaries again to the ends of the earth. Many stories that came across my 8 years of working with the CBWC has continued to motivate me to extend my services beyond the stipulated agreement with the denomination. One such great story was recently told to us by our director of church planning. On one Sunday alone, 3 weeks ago, 67 former Iranian nationals were baptized in one of our newly affiliated Iranian church that has decided to be part of the great work for the kingdom. Other great stories in recent times include the formation of an Arabic-speaking church as one of our congregations, sponsoring of over 200 Syrian refugees by our churches, besides having two Myanmar Karen-speaking churches, one Myanmar Chin-speaking church, two Haitian Creole-speaking churches, two Korean-speaking churches, four Mandarin Cantonese-speaking churches, five Filipino Tagalog-speaking churches, one Ethiopian-speaking church, one Japanese-speaking church, whom in recent years joined our denomination as well, which enabled us to enlarge our ministries to various ethnic cities in the western region of the country. When the scripture speaks about spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth, this is what it was meant for us, that the different ethnic national groups came right to our doorsteps as well. They have come to us to be part of the kingdom ministries. They desire to see their own people group coming to know God personally. What a great opportunity it is to be in partnership in training of new disciples to bring the gospel back to their own ethnic groups in such a time like this. Lastly, SSMC has always been a great testimony around the world. I have continued to share the great story of SSMC wherever I go, in the area of generosity in giving towards the work of world missions during your annual anniversary gift day every year. I can firmly assure you that not many churches would consider giving sacrificially 50% of the yearly budget towards mission, and this is why it is such a privilege that God has blessed a church like SSMC. So please keep it up and continue to let the fire of missions burn brightly within your hearts. Dengan ini, saya ingin mengucapkan berkat kepada umat-umat sekalian yang hadir pagi ini dari ayat Alkitab yang tercatat dalam buku Bilangan bab 6 ayat 24 sampai 26. Semoga Tuhan memberkati dan memelihara kamu. Semoga Tuhan baik hati dan murah hati terhadap kamu. Semoga Tuhan berkenan kepada kamu dan memberi kamu kesejahteraan. Amin. May the Lord bless you all and keep you in His loving care. Amin.
A 2 minutes greeting, sharing from Australia.
My name is Boy, and I bring you greetings from my family and I from Perth, Australia. SSMC was my home church for some 25 years before my family and I moved to Perth in 2013. And I now serve full-time in a local church. Missions is in the DNA of SSMC. And it's been ingrained in us as a family from a perspective of giving and serving. And over the years, as a family, we've been part of mission teams to different countries and people groups. And that has given us a wider experience of the need for the need of others. Mission trips have also opened our eyes, you know, and our hearts to the bigger picture of God's kingdom. It has helped us to be less inward-looking and broadening our vision beyond our church, community, and country. Now, placed in a different church and a different country, those experiences that we've carried from SSMC continues to spur me on to inculcate a pervasive culture of missions in our local church here. In 2018, in collaboration with a team from SSMC, I led a team from Perth to Bangladesh, a country I went as part of SSMC some 10 years ago. It was simply amazing to be there again and to see the phenomenal growth of what God is, you know, has done, you know, over there, and more so the ministries, you know, that has developed and flourished in that country. The trip itself has resulted you know, in being a catalyst for many other mission initiatives in our local church here. If there was one compelling reason for my involvement in missions, and it would be to see the lost found, disciples made, and nations reached. 44 years, what a milestone. Ebenezer indeed. Missions is the legacy of SSMC, a legacy of servitude and hope. And for those of you who have never been on a mission trip or thinking of joining one, I urge you to commit yourself to one and let God use you and experience God like never before. And for SSMC, as you celebrate yet another year of God's greatness and faithfulness, I pray that God will continue to use you as a beacon to reach more unreached peoples, and that He will take you to areas beyond what you could ever imagine or think of. Congratulations and God bless.
So Woon from Wycliffe. Okay, this are very short. Okay.
Shalom and good morning. My name is Suvun. I am with Wycliffe Malaysia, working in the finance department and also supporting the office administration. I would say it is SSMC's anniversary gift day. It challenged me in the area of giving to God's work. It was not only the giving of finances, but the involvement in missions. There were many opportunities for us to serve in short-term mission trips. I would listen to all the testimonies of the brothers and sisters who went on these trips. I remember Pastor Paul telling us about raising rice in one of his trips. It was flies sitting on rice. I cannot imagine going there, but hearing the testimonies of God working in the lives of the people made me curious, and I finally signed up to go where they served raising rice. At the end of that trip, I decided missions was definitely not for me. Well, if I don't go, I could pray. We prayed, and as we prayed that God would put legs to prayers. God answered our prayers. Many went, took time off from their work and normal duties to serve in short-term missions. I decided again to join them. It was through these trips that I experienced more the reality of God and see the need of laborers. The harvest truly is plentiful and the laborers are few. God impressed upon me to leave my work to serve Him full-time. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Men and women of faith have given their lives to bring the Word of God to us, but many people groups still do not have God's Word in their heart language. And this was what motivated me to join Wycliffe in 1999. In Wycliffe, I learned that there are many ways we can serve God, and I felt God called me to serve Him with the gift that He has given me, accounting, and it is needed in many of the Wycliffe area offices. I always felt inadequate when it comes to serving God in missions. What can I do? I cannot teach the Word of God. I was not trained in a seminary. But God taught me that I can use that one talent that He has given me, and by faith invest it, and He will multiply and bring forth eternal fruits.
Finally, the last one.
My name is Randy. I joined the SSMC as a staff as a mission intern in 1999, almost 20 years ago. I was with the church for 2 years before, together with my wife, Joachim, the church commissioned us to Tasikmalaya, West Java, and Indonesia. We were doing some community development work among the Sundanese people, where I'm in the education division, and Joachim is in the small business development, working among the handicrafts artisans. We were there for 6 years, and we came back to Malaysia in August 2007. I'm now with Wawasan Penabur, a ministry we founded 10 years ago in 2009, which aims to produce, provide, and distribute Christian materials in Bahasa Malaysia. We work closely with the Bahasa-speaking churches, not just distributing resources, but also doing some trainings and teaching, especially to the Interior Bible School in Sabah and Sarawak. To me, the cross-cultural missions experience itself is a journey. 3 years ago, when I was a mission intern here at SSMC, our neighbors in Kaska were mostly Indonesian migrants. Pastor Boy and I used to visit almost all the Indonesian homes, so much so that we know where the Minang, where the Boyans, the Maduris, Javanese, and Kerinci live. And there was only one Balinese family I remember. The hands-on training is what I learned from SSMC then. Back then, Pusat Penyayang Kaska was still in infant stage. And I remember the cousin used to call SSMC as the club, since we have a lot of kampung children in the church vicinity, especially over the weekend at the tuition center. My heart is always for the poor. The Warga Kolong Ayam, a community of poor living in the abandoned chicken coops near our office in Tasikmalaya, is a powerful picture that sticks to my mind until today. As we go to interior Sabah and Sarawak, we see a lot of this. Not people living in Kolong Ayam, but people who don't have much. The church is poor, literally poor. Lack of resources, lack of supports. But they have a big heart for God. That's why I still go for mission trips to the interior of Sabah and Sarawak, taking books to there and conduct some trainings. As we celebrate our 44th anniversary, let's remember Sabah and Sarawak. The Lord is doing some great things there, and I'm afraid we will all miss the boat simply because we don't see our brothers and sisters in East Malaysia need support, a lot of support. God bless you.
Thank you for your attention. Now, why do I recruited our friends to just share? It's basically to remind us, to challenge us, to tell us that this is what SSMC is about. And I think our prayer will be the next generation, you know, the younger people in our midst, that you will also catch this same vision and to continue to bring and to do what God has called us to do. SS is special. And I'm going to end soon, but basically just to say that in this whole area of mission, there are basically three gears that is always at work. The whole area of prayer. And prayer is the one that really drives everything. Then there's the whole area of giving. You and I are privileged to give. And finally, the whole area of going. Suwon said, everybody can pray. Whether you are young or you are old. My challenge, and I continue to encourage you, that we need to continue to ask God to give to us a heart for the nations and to continue to pray. Prayer changes things, but I think most importantly, prayer changes us. Like what Suwon say, when she began to pray, God began to put legs to her prayers. And I want to encourage and to challenge all of you. Let's continue. Let's ask God to refire this whole area of prayer and praying for the nations. You know, SS is unique in a sense that every Sunday in service, we will actually have a time of intercession. And I can say that if you go to any other churches, very few will be doing what we are doing. Our own understanding is that this house shall be a house of prayer unto all nations. And therefore, even in the 5 minutes that we pray together, remember, your prayer makes that difference. Remember also that as you begin to pray, that God will begin to shape us, that God will begin to open up our own hearts to be aligned to His heart. So whether you are young or you are old, everybody can pray. Maybe for some of us who are older, you cannot go, never mind. But you can pray. You know, C.S. Lewis says, you are never too old to set another goal or dream a new dream. I think what C.S. Lewis is actually saying is that, you know, it's never too late to start where we are. And I want to encourage all of us, young and old, to ask that God will give to us a heart for the nations and that we continue to pray. Number two, the whole area, sorry, I forgot about this slide. And in praying, Psalms 2:8, this is God's word to his anointed. And this is what he says, ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. Can I encourage you as you go in prayer, ask the Lord for the nations. Ask the Lord for people group. Ask the Lord for them. And God promised that he will give to us this as our inheritance. Psalms 22, 27, and 28, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations will bow down before him. This is a word, Psalms 22, the context is God is about the forsaken servant. And if you read Psalms 22, the picture is actually about Jesus Christ. That he had to suffer, that he had to die. And at the end of it, the outcome will be, at the end of it, all the nations of the earth will remember. Not because they forgot. The nations will remember in the sense that they will come to the knowledge that there is one God and that it is in Christ Jesus who has redeemed them. And they will come, and they will all worship and bow down. This is the picture. This is the vision that God has given to us. For many of us, it is through prayer that this heart for the nations, God begins to birth. Secondly, in the whole area of giving, it's not just about giving money. But I want to just say here this morning, until and unless we learn to give ourselves first to the Lord, we will never understand what giving is all about. Can I just say that? Until and unless we first learn to give ourselves to the Lord, we will never understand what giving is all about. Giving is not about force to give, but giving is always a response. It is a response to his love. It is a response to his heart. And the Macedonian church is a good example. They gave themselves first to the Lord, and they consider giving as a privilege. My friend Eric has said, if we want to invest, let us consider investing in a legacy of faith amongst the unreached people group, amongst the UUPG. You and I have been given that privilege. Finally, this is what John Wesley said. If you are Methodist, you better know this. Make all you can. In other words, earn all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. I think one of the things that really challenged my own heart is to look at the life of Wesley. His expenditure never increased. You know, later in his ministry, you know, because he was famous and through his writings and everything, you know, financially there were a lot of money that comes to him, but his expenditure, his lifestyle remained the same. And this is what he tells all of us Methodists. Earn all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. Give and invest into the kingdom. And I think it is really a type of bitterness, as I was thinking in the book of Ecclesiastes, the preacher say, naked you come from your mother's womb, naked you shall go back. There is nothing you can bring back. And the most bitter thing is that whatever you leave behind, you can never enjoy. Whatever you leave behind, whoever uses it, you have no control. And the preacher in Ecclesiastes say, it is vain. And therefore, can I encourage you? Give, but first give of yourself first to the Lord. And the Lord will teach you how to give. It is not about how much. It is about giving ourselves to Him. And finally, go and make disciples. We talk a lot about our own vision, transforming life and expanding His kingdom. And I believe with my own whole heart, and this is my own conviction, and I trust that it will also be your conviction, that this is God's call for SSMC. Not just to go, but to make disciples. This is what God has called us. And this is again a well-known quotation from John Wesley. I look on all the world as my parish. In other words, the world is our parish. Wherever God opens the door, wherever God sends us, and if they are willing to listen, you know, then it is our duty, it is our privilege to share the message of glad tidings of salvation. My friends, this is SSMC. This is what God has called us. And my prayer will be, you know, in the years to come, that there will be others that will stand on our shoulders and do greater things for God than this generation or the previous generation. And I'm privileged, in a sense, to be part of this church. And I continue to challenge you, my brothers and sisters, that as you look at the 44th anniversary, it is not about an event. It is about a renewal of our own calling and conviction of what being SSMC is all about. And finally, what is what the one compelling picture that has always caught my attention? And this is the vision that God gave to John in the heavens. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one can count. In other words, a sea of people. As far as the eyes can see, there will be a sea of people cannot be counted. And these people are from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language. They will stand before the throne and before the Lamb. Amen. This is the compelling picture that God has given to us. And if you are sitting in here this morning, you also realize the flags of the nations. It's not for decoration only, but the message is that we are called to bless the nations. So I trust that this morning, as you have come, to just say that really, this is who we are. Sungai Way, Subang Methodist Church. God has chosen us. God has set us apart. And God has commissioned us. And it is a privilege for you and I to be engaged, to be involved, to be part of this. We are not perfect, we recognize. But it is never about us, but the grace of God. Can I just, even as we end this morning, just invite the worship team to just come, and even as we declare this song, Hallelujah to the Lamb, open your hearts. And this morning, you know, If there's anything, can I just ask that you yourself tell God, show me, and let me be engaged. Can we just stand, even as we sing this song? Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Lord, I stand in the midst of a multitude of those from every tribe and tongue. We are your people, redeemed by your blood, rescued from death by your love.
There are no words
good enough to thank you. There are no words. Praise, but I will lift up my voice.
just ask that we raise our hands before the Lord. Just raise our hands. Lord, we recognize that it is never about us. Who are we, O Lord, that you should choose us? Who are we, O Lord, that you should consecrate us? Who are we, O Lord, that you should commission us, that you find us fit, O Lord, to represent you? Lord, even as we raise our hands before you this morning, we want to just pray that we will once again, Lord, give ourselves first and foremost to the Lord, to you. And we just ask, O Lord, in doing so, that you will begin, Lord, to show us. You begin, Lord, to stir. You begin to challenge us. You begin, Lord, to help us to put feet to our prayers. You begin to show us, even with the little that we have, with the talents that we have, you are able to multiply. And Lord, we want to just thank you for this privilege of being part of this church, this unique calling, this specific and redemptive calling that you have given to us. And we continue to pray, O Lord, even for the generations that will come from SS, that they will do greater works and greater exploits for you. Amen. Lord, that you will send them even further, further, wider, O Lord, that they will be able to accomplish much more, Lord, through your power and through your grace. And we thank you, O Lord, again and again, for calling us and giving to us this identity. We want to bless you. We want to just give thanks to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. God bless you.